This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
This is why I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
I'm a photographer. You're about seeking.
You want me to move this?
I sit there. Oh. This is given to me by Michael.
That's right. That's what Michael Thomas.
Yeah, this is Michael Thomas.
On my own voice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is the, just put it here?
Yeah. I played this deal. Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
not
a good proclamation.
Yeah.
Why is it? This here is really nice.
Yeah, a friend did that for me too. He's in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
He did that too.
And that's
he's a wonderful artist.
That's of course you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
What is his name?
Very similar to mine, but I can't remember. I thought that that was done by the two black people. That was done in Washington. And the one that was done by somebody in Philadelphia.
This one right here?
No, the one between that.
Oh.
Uh-huh. That was done by an American that stays in Paris right there.
With
one
some
there,
zebra.
Like trees and zebras.
Right.
And that was given to me by Alabama. Governor Alabama. And Governor Wallace is that's Birmingham.
Governor Wallace?
Yes.
Huh.
In the last part of his regency, I suppose you
have. I'm going to put this over here.
On this chair here.
It's been in the same place where they beating that thing cold with chains.
Oh, right, when in the 1950s.
But different story.
Hmm.
They gave him the letter, VIP, to the top hotel, 15th floor, at the Hellacete with him.
Uh-huh.
It did another thing for me.
When was this? How recent?
19, what is the last 2 months of what Governor Wallace is doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's up there, I suppose.
Yeah, I'll take a look later.
I don't pay too much attention to years because I'm dealing with eternal things and everything's the same. Just division of time that man has, so that's what he lives in the time zone. I've been outside the time zone, but that makes a difference when you go outside. Then you don't pay any attention to what's happening. But you know it doesn't matter.
But you step inside too when you have to.
You step inside, yeah. Then you have to adjust yourself to not adjust to the time zone.
When did you first become aware that you had a sort of special destiny?
I always knew I was different, you know. But I didn't know what was happening. When I first became aware of this planet, it was like I came from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful place. But I didn't know nothing about all this, but it took me a long time to find out the world is what it is. Because I was thinking about where I came from. If it is there, it's not like here.
But when did you find out that you had a special destiny?
Well, about 7 years old. They kept talking about God and things in churches. My grandmother thought I'd join the church. I never could understand why, if Jesus died to save people, why they still died because of ignorance, you see. And I couldn't equate that as a child.
Mm.
If somebody died to save somebody, then they're not supposed to die. That's why I looked at it as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I never changed. So I finally stopped going to church because I couldn't adjust to that fact.
Did your folks get mad at you?
No, you see, my mother didn't go to church. She said, you make your own heaven in hell.
Mm-hmm.
She taught me differently. You make your own heaven in hell, here,
right.
Which was opposed to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
was very strict, you know, very religious. She didn't like me to play nothing but church songs. Things of that kind.
But you're hearing nothing. You were hearing Fletcher Henderson
when I came home one day, my mother had a so-called birthday present for me. It was a piano. Mm-hmm. But I had never thought of a piano. I never thought about being a musician because I heard they have such a difficult time. Artists, musicians, poets, writers. I didn't want, I need that because I'm very well sheltered. So I wasn't thinking about that. But then it just happened. When she brought the piano, I came on, I sat down and played it. I didn't have a teacher. So I had a friend who played violin named William Gray. He said I was playing by ear. Mm-hmm. But I was playing the music. So I didn't have to buy any music for about a year. Because every day he bought songs and brought it to me, and I played it. I played it. He brought difficult, passive compositions. I played it. Uh-huh. I played everything. I guess it's a natural decision. That's what happened to me. And of course then, I went to high school, they leave the piano in school band, so now I was over in the band. Kept on being like that. Then I hit the band. Then I decided I still didn't want to be a musician. So they gave me a scholarship to college. Oh, so I left the opportunity to leave the band. So I left the band. And my friends leave again. But I just didn't want to be a leader in this band. And then, the next day, at 15, they showed up too at the college. So that was something that was saying, no, you can't do that. They didn't have a scholarship, so I said, but you can't just enter school like that. You weren't given a scholarship. They said wherever I went, they were going. That it was. So they went and they got the endowment tours and they got the goods and everything, lockers, and the problem. So finally the dean came around. You know, they hadn't signed in or nothing like that. The president sent to me, and then the president bus. He said that he would they get the school books free. They'd have to, because A&M College, Agriculture and Mechanical, everybody mostly worked there, so A&M school too, you had to get your lesson. So that's what, he said, well, they have to work too. They'll have to rehearse each day 1 hour. That was their work, seriously. So then I was stuck with them again.
So you became a leader of one of
them. I was a leader of it.
Yeah. How did you come to go to Chicago eventually?
Well, I still had a bet. So then I decided, well, I went to Nashville first. So I was Wynonna Harris, you know, Bruce Sam, who played the house. He wanted me to come to Nashville to play the night club with him. Mm-hmm. So I went up there with one of the fellows in the band, played there in Nashville. Then another fellow came. So Alvin Gibbs came down from Chicago, and he was reorganizing his band. He was famous, you know, he didn't think about it, but he was famous on that, with the top of the engineers. So he wanted me to. So I went to Chicago. Then his program, what he wanted to do, he wanted everybody to dress up in French costumes, you know, drills and lip poppers and all that kind of stuff, like maybe 16th century or something like that. Mm-hmm. That was his plan.
Right.
Play society. He never did. He didn't have the proper kind of arrangements for that. So I found that when I was in Chicago, I played around with different musicians. I was playing different. They knew I was playing something different. So I never had to worry about working. They didn't understand what I was doing, but they were fascinated by it. And they always hired me whether it was a trio or a duo or whatever. And that's the way it was. I played all the time.
How did you yourself start?
Then I started talking about space and everything. And that of course, shocked musicians because I told them about the new instruments that's going to happen. I didn't call it synthesizer. You would not. I told them they'd have instruments that you could blow, electrical instruments. Musicians said that that's ridiculous because if the saliva gets out of there, you get electrocuted. You couldn't do that. It would never happen. but they do have.
Yes.
I got one. I got two. Now, but they rejected that. Then I was talking about going to the moon, flat moon, flat to the moon. So that made them call me the moon man. Then, and it's like ridicule, humorous. And every time I go down the street, the police would stop me. They still intrigued to talk to them. And that as a child, I said, I was very simple, you see. So now I decided I'd try to reach God. See, why you got to have films in churches? What are they teaching? Is it true? But what do you want of people? Because I met some good people on this planet, unselfish, and they still died. I want to know from God, what did he want? It must be something he wanted for humanity when aware of as a child. I asked that very simply. And he came out, he said he just wanted to find one pure-hearted person on this planet. Just one. It had no ulterior motives. Just very simple, natural, simple, pure and heart.
And that was you.
Must have been. Then I did, you know, I'm without space. So, in Chicago, I got all written down until I was making. I was keeping a diary until one day in college I came, everybody in the band was on the bed reading my diary. We was having a good time, so then I abolished the diary after that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I still retain something. And then now I'm just saying that these space beings contacted me and wanted me to go out of space somewhere. We were looking for somebody who had that type of mind or spirit. So it was quite dangerous because you had to have perfect discipline. When I grew up, I'd have to go up like this to keep, don't let no parts of my body touch outside of the beam. And because if I did, going through time zones, I wouldn't get that part back. So that's what I did. And then it's like, well, at that, it looked like a giant spotlight, like I said, shining out on me. And I call it transmolecularization. My whole body was changed into something else. I could see through myself. Then I went up. Now I call that an energy card. I went on up because I wasn't in human form. I mean, a form was there, but I could see through myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then I landed on a planet, which I identified as Saturn. First thing I saw was something like the rail, long rail of a railroad track coming down out of the sky and landed over there in a vacant lot. Now, when this picture came out about space, Odyssey, I think, 2000, I saw it. They had something like a rail. Mm-hmm. Down, but I had already seen
the monorails.
It's a rail coming down.
Yeah.
Now, so then I found myself in this huge stadium. And I was sitting up in the last row in the dark because I knew I was alone and I didn't know what was happening to me and why they wanted me. But anyway, and they were down there on the stage, something like a big boxing ring down on the stage. So then they called my name and I didn't move. I still sit back, got back up in the dark. Then they called my name again. I still didn't answer. And then all at once they teleported me from where I was on that stage in one split second. I looked that down there with them. So when I see these signs six and pictures, I know they're hitting on the truth, because it happened to me. I wasn't dreaming. then they went to talk to me. Well, they had little antenna on each ear, just like Dr. A little antenna right there on each eye.
The creatures from the beings from Saturn.
Yeah, and so they talked to me and said, they told me to stop. I was taking teacher training class to stop that. Don't go any further with it. Because there's going to be great trouble from teenagers in schools. There's going to be a lot of trouble from them in every walk of life. And that's why they wanted to talk to me about it. that have anything to do with it. I'm contented. But they would teach me some things that when it looked like the world was going from complete chaos, there was no hope for nothing, then I could speak. Not until then. And when I speak, the world would listen. That's what they told me. So the next thing, I found myself back on planet Earth in a room with them, and it was a bathroom, and it was a apartment, back in the courtyard. They were there with me. At that time, I wasn't wearing robes. I hadn't been wearing, but they were wearing robes. I had them on then. They put them on. And they said, well, go out there, the curtain up there. Go out there and speak to them. And I looked out to the curtain, and people were milling around out in the courtyard. I said, no, they look like they're angry, so I'm not going out there. I'm not driving it. So they pushed me through the curtain. And I found myself on the balcony. All these people milling around. They said, they're not angry, they are bewildered. Expression for something.
These were the people.
And that's what the ones from Saturn said. They're bewildered. And that's why they just walking around going nowhere. You talk to me, and once all the people turned around, looking up at me at the bathroom. Then I came out of whatever it was, saw that. I also saw that I was in Chicago at that time. I saw that I was laying out on a park bench, a stone park bench, in some park near a river. There's a bridge up near, across the river. In this park bench. I knew it was New York City. I was doing very well in Chicago, and I said, well, that's one thing that would not happen. And then I looked and I saw the sky was purple and dark red, and through that I could see a spaceship, thousands of them, covering the sky. And I set up to look. Then this voice said, well, you can cause them to land. Your article matters, the spaceships can't land unless you say so. Our conditions right for landing. And they started to come down. I think I said yes. They started to land. And then people were running to try to come to the landing where they thought they would land. And they shot at the people. They shot something like flight bullets. But they weren't bullets. They were something that when it hit the ground, it's like chewing gum and you find stuff like that. You couldn't go in the car.
Oh,
yeah, it's stuck. You could do that, but you couldn't. Mm-hmm. You couldn't move any further. And I came out of that. But when I found myself in New York City, and up by Columbia University, I saw the spot. I saw the bench. I saw the bridge. Well, watch the bridge. Just like I had. So see, those things have been indelibly imprinted in my brain. I couldn't get them out if I tried.
What you said about when the world is in absolute chaos.
They said when it's in chaos, when the teenagers would not listen to anybody, neither mother, nor father, nor church, nor school, nor nobody, that I was the only one that could clarify the issue.
And people would listen.
They just,
has that moment arrived yet, do you think?
Well, I just come back from Russia and they gave a toast to me as a world citizen. Mm-hmm. And they said, because I care about nations and people, and I represent friendship in Tbilisi. That's where that state came, Georgia. I went there.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
Tbilisi.
Oh,
that's city I never heard of before. It's in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm from.
Over there in Georgia.
Yeah. It's the first Jazz International Festival in Russia.
Mm-hmm. I once heard you say that knowledge is laughable. When attributed to a human being?
It is, because they're in the something which they shouldn't be in.
Which is?
All the sickness and death and the slavery, all these things that happen. It's more like a scenario written, mm-hmm. and they have to follow it.
With that.
Lack of place.
Yeah.
No one has put anything, they have more meant to play. All they have to do is to write something where the play goes another way. It will happen.
But you have
you know, like the Nietzsche said, it is written. So they're only living by what is written.
What is written?
Yeah, because you got the symbols here. See, I'm talking equations. You have the symbols written up on the cross. they showed me that you got some of that I-N-R-I up there on that cross. But the...
Is it I have suffered?
I-N-R-I.
Yeah, but...
You also got IHS, it's two symbols.
Right, okay.
But that means that's his IT backwards. That ain't too good. But anyway, see, you got this T, IHS, S-H-I-T. Now, I'm talking about something they can see right in that church that they got, S-H-I-T, backwards. Because all the divisions came from the east, and the east they read from the right.
Right.
Japanese do it too. So therefore, that would be S-H-I-T, right up there for the eyes. It's just something that's showing them how they can be all that intelligent and still not see a simple symbol. They got to go by the symbols now. It's all around them. The I-N-R-I-T, you could say that very simply, phonetically, enriched, written. It'd be spelled R-I-T-I-N, but it's still written. Enriched, like it said, engraved some, enriched. So we have to deal with things from an ancient point of view, from ancient Egypt, the way they spoke things. You have to see that no one has moved from ancient status and codes. Nobody. Right here in the United States, they got it right in the Christian religion. They got where they said, somebody said, I'm the beginning and the end, first and the last, and then the first should be last. Last should be first. That's an equation. Therefore, A is equal to a Z. So if that is true, you don't have a creator anymore. You take that A away, put a Z there. Then you got a cresta. So they got the 9-5. What's happening? They got a cresta. C-R-E-Z-T-O-R. But then they have to be careful, because if you got that O-R, that doesn't mean anybody created something.
Doesn't mean anybody created.
No, it doesn't mean a creator would be C-R-E-A-T-E-R. He created something. But C-R-E-A-T-O-R is just a position, like governor. O-R on the end, you see.
Mayor.
And mayor.
Yeah.
And you see, doctor too. Positions. And therefore, any doctor be a creator. I mean, they have authority, but that doesn't necessarily mean they create anything, but they could, if they get enough wisdom, they could jump over there and be a creator because they got the authority. But they might destroy too if they don't have the proper kind of wisdom. I don't care about humanity. They get up there, they might do the Hitler, or they might do the Stalin. Most men, when they get power, they do that. They destroy. They create something destructive. I even said, you know, like the automobile accidents, if you go and look at an automobile, all sort of it's like a modern sculpture. I said, there are some beings, they go to school for artwork, and when they cause terrible tragedy to happen, they can look at that work and watch and say, isn't that beautiful? They got that kind of mind. And they can mess the person up so bad, y'all cripple, they say, look, that is like nothing else in the world. Accidents don't produce the same thing. You know. Each automobile is different. And when a person can met each one of them is different, bones broken and everything. Yeah, a type of creature to say, yes, this is my creation. Of course, you would even have to adjust their minds to something if you're different to that. But it's happening. In fact, because of my band, they were going down, if they play downtown in Philadelphia somewhere, I was waiting for them. They were a little late. I didn't know what happened. They said, as they was coming along on that Schofield Highway, an automobile, you know, had the dividing thing between them. Like wire or something. An automobile with six people that rose up off the ground, got up on the wire, shot right on that blue, 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 and this fell up on the other side. Like something inside of it. They saw that.
They saw it.
So they were so astounded. How could an automobile rise up off the ground and do that? But they saw it. I'm not saying you got to see. So they were busy looking at that woman. What happened? They were a little late. So that's one indication. I said that there are no accidents. They planned perfectly.
Right.
I've talked to girls in the band about things, you know, different type of things, truths that seem not to be the truth. But one night, 16 fellas was driving coming from New York. And on the highway, he saw an intersection where an automobile was standing up there about a half mile. Just sitting there. So he says, you know, that person's waiting for me to come and then drive right out and cause an accident. So when I get up there, I'm going to stop that quick. So he did. He stopped and then the automobile shot up. That's where he would have been. It's one indication. I've had some strange things happen to me taking San Francisco. He's going along. I said, you know, this crowd is terrible. I don't see how people make it here. They would have to depend on a creator or God or somebody to help them. They need protection. I don't see how they make it here. And then we came to this intersection where we were going, had to turn right to go up the hill to our San Francisco area. So we turned. Another automobile turned to behind us. On the other side was the car going that waiting on the traffic light to change. Mm-hmm. On the side of us was some trees and fences and all that, so we couldn't get on the sidewalk. We had to, but as we stopped, because down the hill was coming an automobile about 200 miles an hour, down that hill, about a half mile away or something, that very narrow street. We stopped. We couldn't back up or another car behind us. We just sit there. Now notice I just said, we need protection on this planet. This automobile came, we couldn't get out. I couldn't get out because the fence was there. It came on down. The other automobile was like this, you know, it hadn't quite turned. It had turned. The automobile came down and hit the car behind us. It hit the car so hard that it went in the intersection, turned around and around and around. And this automobile kept going. But see, when it got down there, the cars on the other side got on like a max center turn. It's not on the sidewalk. They could get on this. Another thing happened in San Francisco. He was on the highway, going to the airport. One of the fellows was driving, but he stayed in Los Angeles. But his mother, he had been down there to visit his mother, and he hadn't had any rest. I said, let somebody else drive. No, I can drive. And here we were on the highway. He was right up on the next car, another car right behind us. All at once, June, the vocals of us, she said, Danny, because he was going to hit that other car. So then he was driving. Sleep with his eyes wide open on the highway. And we said then he woke up. But it wasn't, if he put the brakes on, the car behind us gonna hit us, you see. So that was the situation. It was very dangerous. But we got out of it because the car rose up off the ground, got in the next lane. Mm. Now, that impossible thing, a lot of impossible things that happened to me. And that's what I can't get out of my mind because it was four of us in the car. All of us saw that.
Do you consider yourself a human being?
No. Mm-mm. Too many things happen to me. See, me as a man thinketh, so is he. And these things happen to me, they haven't happened to everybody. Mm-hmm. That makes my mind totally different. Like in Chicago, we played somewhere, I was on the highway, and coming back to Chicago, and all at once the car started to slip and slide. But I said, what's wrong? The driver said, frozen gasoline. There's nothing you can do when that happens. If I put on the brakes, you're going to slide. No telling where we're going. So I'm not going to put on the brakes. Have to keep on going. So see the police up there and these other cars posting it? They couldn't stop either. Said, no way that we can stop. No way. So I said, Father, and it stops.
Father?
That's what I said, Father. And it stopped. Now five fellas saw that. They didn't say nothing about it. It was frightening in a sense. But I told the saxophone player, I said, well, you can say that too if you're in danger.
Why, Father?
I don't know what they said.
Oh, I just knew to say it.
But anyways, so one day he was in a car and they hit a post or something up in the mountains and the car station where it hit. It was getting ready to go down, and he said, Father, and he was thrown out the car on his feet, and the other one, down. Now, something happened in Philadelphia here. But something happened in New York City first. A fellow who was sort of managing, he was went down the subway, 14th Street in New York City. The police came down and said he jumped over the turnstile. Mm. He said, I didn't jump over the turnstile, I paid. So they took him back up to the booth. And the woman said, oh no, that was two white fellas that jumped over the turnstile. It wasn't him. So he told him, said, see, y'all always bother with an innocent person. You embarrass me and brought me up here and I haven't done anything. You see how y'all do things? So one of the police got behind him on his knees. The other, you know, like little boy, pushed him over.
Yeah.
So then when he did that, some kind of way the nightstick hit the pavement. So here come the other police. They didn't ask no question. They got around and they was trying to hit him with their sticks, but they couldn't hit him. He moved his head about and moved about. They surrounded him. And all at once he said, Creator, help me. And then this voice came out of nowhere and said, leave the motherfucker alone. So now they stopped and they looked around, they didn't see nothing, so it didn't continue. Mm-hmm. Now Jackson was telling our Congo player in Philadelphia about that incident, so he said, oh, Peter talks like that? He talks my language. He talks, yeah, well, he have talked the language that you understand.
Yeah.
I mean, if he talks something that you don't understand, because you won't get the message. So this Congo player was Pocono was playing with a group, and there was a station wagon, and all at once, they lost control of some. Here comes the station wagon, down. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the car would say, God, God. But he said, Creator, Creator. And everybody who said God died. He was thrown out the car on his feet. Everybody was burned up, like scrambled eggs. So now, that's okay. It's something else then. Different between God and the Creator. Something's happening. Now all those things you see in my mind, I can't throw them out.
Yes. What I wanted to ask you though, what I was wondering, I mean, though, if you're not a human being, you still have earthly needs. I mean, you still have
food. I have to eat properly. Although I forget about eating and all quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I have to eat and not run and cook something myself because I have to cook things a certain way. I always like for my foods to be real done. Almost
very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bread and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the wishy-washy stuff.
Yeah.
And I have to cook. Well, sometimes I cook me a moon stew, a moon soup, and everybody likes that.
What is a moon stew?
Well, it's you have to choose the vegetables that's just right. They have to be fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be of a certain quality. You have to know which ones to pick, because you don't pick the right one, it's not going to taste right. You pick tomatoes, you pick the okra, you pick the corn,
uh-huh.
You have everything, and you cook it just the right temperature, just enough, and then it would be blended properly. And then you can taste each vegetable individually.
Yes,
it doesn't just become a soup where you don't taste nothing. You taste everything. Uh-huh. Each part you pick up, you taste it. And I can do that. I don't know how I do it, but I do it quite often. Everybody likes it.
But, I guess what I'm asking is, why do you think that's so, that you have these earthly needs? Why do you think you're here?
I'm here because people need me.
Mm-hmm.
They know, there is God, you know, so he just let them go on and on and on so he can teach them something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they got their own minds, they free to think what they want, they got their choices. But they don't ask no questions, they accept this as the norm. I don't. About 2 months ago, I asked the minister, I spoke to him, I said, how's your boss? You see, nobody ever asks God, how's he doing? How you feeling? They always ask you, how you feeling? They never ask God nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the minister, how's your boss? He said, oh, he's doing all right. I said, that's nice. I said, but a lot of bad things happen on this planet. What about that? He said, oh, he knows about it. I said, well, but people are dying and getting killed and all that. What is he going to do? He said, well, he's not going to do anything. I said, why not? He said, he's trying to get their attention. I said, but get their attention? He said, yes. You see,
all kind of nice things for them. They didn't see that, they didn't recognize. So now he's doing these other things to get their attention that he does exist and that he's doing these things to them to make them listen. That's what the minister told me.
But does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense. You can't get, if you're a teacher and the students are all out of order, you have to do something.
To get their attention.
You can't let the tail wag the dog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to take control. And you have to show that he has control. He is doing it. You take, like, in Europe, a few days ago, 100 miles an hour wind, tearing up everything. They didn't show that too much over here because they just concerned with America.
What was that? I'm sorry. What
winds at 100 miles an hour in London. I mean, in all over Europe. And we haven't heard of things like that happen in Europe. So it happens over here. It's worldwide disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got brother against brother in every country. And I have a scientific mind, so I always want to know why. So then the folks said, well, it's this Jesus they worshiping. They said, he told them, I came to bring division. He told them, I came to bring, think not that I came to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. So you got war on this planet. And you got brother, I came to bring division, eternal son against his father. You got that. It's happening like clockwork. You have to deal with it. It's, while all these folks using dope and everything. I said, well, they said they gave God's son some dope on the cross, so what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. I think they should wake up and see. They should stop teaching that that was Good Friday.
They gave dope to God on the cross?
They gave dope to Jesus when he was on the cross.
Where do you find that out?
That's in the Bible. They gave him some gall and some more stuff. They gave him the dope to ease the pain,
supposedly. Right, yeah.
But so now that teenager's using dope. And it even down to the sub-teenagers. That's God doing that, who they say is love. But actually, it's reap what you sow. But I'm telling them, look, now you got all these equations and things, but you have to spell so, S-O, and not S-O-W. You reap what you sow. That means what you say is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get. And then the preachers, of course, I never heard a preacher quote that in the Bible that said, my people are lying children. They must reap the fruit of their lies. That's in the Bible. So then what we're doing here is reaping the fruit of some lies some people told about God. He'll keep on doing it until he stop telling these lies about him. Like he gonna forgive sins. He don't forgive nobody. He doesn't have to. You can't make it that way. You just got to be pure in heart.
But very few people are.
Huh?
Very few people are. Very
that's
few
what I know.
Yeah.
You that's what the trouble is. They're very devious. They tell lies all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like a friend called me up, he said, you know, I'm a Muslim. I've been a Muslim ever since my whole life. But his people weren't Muslims and everything. But he said, I'm just a Muslim. So then he promised, I got a piano here. He's in St. Louis. This piano is really worth money because it's a French piano. And I know if you play on it, it'll be worth billions. I'm going to bring it to Philadelphia too. I haven't heard any more from. And then he said, I'm gonna send $1,000 for you. Put out some records that are working here. Haven't heard. Went to Western Union. No money. So they tell lies.
Everybody.
Tell you what you want to hear. And don't intend to do none of it. And that's what's wrong with the planet. They have to stop telling these lies because they think they're free. And that's the trick that God got. Make them think they're free so they'll do what they really want.
Well,
he supervises their destiny because they said he ain't doing nothing.
Supervises
what they say is true.
Mm.
Like they go out there and say the tree is God. He watches, see, they go and promise the tree what they're going to do. And they don't do what they say he punished them for because they lied to the tree. So they have to be careful, whatever they worshiping. He just supervises and see if they're going to be true
to
whatever they. You don't care what they worship. where's the statue of the woman? Statue's part of him. I mean, anything you make, it comes out of some material that belongs to him. Man don't make nothing. Make some plastic and stuff like that. But you still have to use the things that are here. So you didn't create it. You can't just create something out of nothing.
Well, what about music? Does man make music? Well,
he get inspired. It's difficult. It's as difficult for a musician as it's difficult for a scientist. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything here unless you sacrifice. You have to give up some time. Mm-hmm. And to be a musician, you have to rehearse. Of course, in America, they can build you up like you're a genius. And people believe what they see on that TV and what they read in the paper. They easily brainwash an American. But in Europe, it's not like that. They go by what you're doing. You can't fool them either, because you know they got the classics and all that, and they can compare. If you come up with something that the classic composers didn't do, and nobody else is doing, Europe wants to hear that. That's why they interested me. I'm getting ready to go to Sicily. They want me to teach the musicians over there for a week and a Dartmouth next week sometime. I'll be teaching some musicians there. That'll be the first time I stepped outside of this band to teach other musicians. But they need to be taught, because they're blocked in. They don't have no inspiration. They need to be inspired it's vast. The potential for creativity is vaster than ever it was because of their electronics. I have to show them how to use them because they got them. But they're going to play the same thing on them that they played before.
And this is where, in Italy?
Palermo.
Oh, Palermo.
It's Sicily, really.
So it's a sort of student ensemble? I mean, there'll be students of yours.
Well, over in Europe, they sponsor that band. They, mm-hmm. You know, the government students.
Yes, yes.
So this is where the government wants me to come over there. Mm-hmm. The band that I will be teaching already has a band leader. He plays piano.
Who is the band
leader? But he happened to be like what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And he wants me to come over there and take his band over and write for them, so they can understand a little bit more about what I'm talking about.
Who is the band leader? Do you remember?
I don't even know his name. He sent me a tape and everything. Mm. I got here somewhere.
Because
a booking agent did, a German mm-hmm. booking agent. You see, Europe is very interesting. You go into Russia. The reason I went to Russia, Sweden, France, Germany, and Poland brought me to Russia. They insisted I should go to Russia. And Sweden, booking agent up there, and German, and I found the French were in there too. Sweden, the Swedish, the German, the French, and the Polish brought me to Russia. Now you see, so it is where of international interest.
Yes, but does it ever bother you that you're better appreciated in Europe than here? I mean, you know, here in the U.S., your home.
Well, I didn't make any moves here. They made trouble in America because the black folks worship the wrong thing. Now, it's difficult to get them to change because they think what they're doing is quite appropriate. You can't go and say, look, you have to drop these religious idols you have. That's the trouble. The world can't accept what you're talking about. And the other nations are not going down to Alabama and let them folks do them like that. They die for his fight. They're not going to do it. So whatever you're teaching about Jesus, you fail to convince the world to do it, because they're not going to do it. Then it's not natural, and you have to stop teaching that, because you have to practice what you preach. And they were compelled to go down in Alabama and to go through that because they teach you that, and they got somebody killed. But
you're talking about the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see, in judging men, if I read what a man is saying, I always find, what's the basic thing he said? What's the most important thing he said? And Reverend King said, there go my people. I'm their leader. I must follow them. And out of everything he said, that's the thing that interests me.
Uh-huh.
It's not proper for a leader to be following people. That's a tail wagging the dog. But he said that, and maybe intended for them to listen to what he was saying. That he wasn't doing what he wanted to do. He was doing what they wanted him to do. Well, they can't escape it. All they got to do is read his writing. There go my people. I'm their leader. I must follow them. Total disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get away from that. They might try to get away from me, but try to get away from that. You can't. And also, over in Europe, he said, a nation cannot move forward unless the music leads them first. But I didn't see that over here.
Dr. King said
it. Yeah, he said it. The artists have to move first. They lead the way. Any nation to make progress, the artists have to move first. Now, he said that, but I don't know whether they put it over in this country.
Right.
It's over in a European.
I've never heard of it, no.
European magazine. And then furthermore, I was walking down the street in Philadelphia one day. I went to the bookstore, and I saw a psychic book. I bought it, magazine. In the magazine, a medium, a psychic, said she talked to Reverend King. He told her, well, he tried to reach, that death is not the way black folks think. So he tried to reach his wife, he couldn't, his daughter, church members, his friends, he couldn't reach not one black person in the whole black race, because the idea of death was blocking him from telling them what he wanted to tell. But he said, now you know differently about death, and I'm going to talk to you for to give them a message for me. Tell them I'm sorry that I led them the way I did, but I didn't know any better. And tell them I said they will never attain anything worthwhile until they get another book. They got to get a book other than the Bible. They will not make it.
What about the Quran?
And well, he said he needed that book of their own. That was given to Arabs and all that. But they need a book that's expressing what they really need.
Mm-hmm.
Because right in Philadelphia,